like to welcome everyone, all of our listeners, to our 14th episode. 14, Bob.
Already?
14.
Seems like we just started.
Two men in a Bible fighting the cosmic battle. That's us, right?
That's us.
Got into
it. Along with a lot of other people that are fighting that same battle.
Absolutely. Absolutely, and I'm excited to be here today, Bob, again, as I always am, and kind of that thought I shared with you that was we were going to talk about, I believe, is that missing last week, and as our schedules have been kind of hectic, and it's been hard to connect to get this podcast done, I really feel a sense of loss or imbalance, mm-hmm. if you will, mm-hmm. and you know it's because of the knowledge that's being imparted. And so what was going through my mind, you know, as I was thinking about Abraham and who we're talking about, you know, in this part of Genesis, you know, a great example of faith. And in my mind, I thought, you know, more than just Sunday, you know, and that was Abraham. Abraham, that wasn't just Sunday, right? That he read the word.
Well, he's not reading anything because they don't have it recorded
right.
yet. But no, the faith is a 24-hour-a-day journey,
and it's hard to realize. And I tell you, we've you know because of scheduling and everything, you know, missing out on our weekly Bible studies, and yeah. and when the only dose that I was getting was on Sunday, boy, I felt like I was on empty. So I'm excited to be back.
That's right. Well, I think what you're describing is the scriptures liken the word of God to food. It's like a meal. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, when you get used to eating that and you skip a meal or two, you're hungry.
Oh, hungry. Hungry.
So,
hungry.
That sounds to me like what you're describing.
And I tell you, I hope that our listeners enjoy what we're presenting. But I also hope that they get out of it, you know, the same thing that I do, which is knowledge, and it really does. It creates that hunger, that
yeah, meal. And we want to do a good meal in life. I'm not so great at this, you know, actually eating meals. I'm getting better though, forced to due to my health situation. But you really want to provide a hearty meal,
right?
Not junk food. And junk food to me would be messages or sermons that wherein teacher, preacher kind of says what he wants to say
right.
instead of what the Word of God actually says. So the anchor for that is just keep reading the scriptures a lot. Make sure that, you know, during any time that you're presenting the Word of God to people, that the majority of it is actually the Word of God and,
right.
and not your own.
And really, you know, what I've learned from you is to slow down and really discern what you're reading, not just gloss over it,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, looking for the exciting,
mm-hmm.
quote-unquote, part of the Bible or part of the story, but really slowing down and discerning the word.
Yeah, and let's not forget this imagery that we often recall. To me, it's like sitting down in a big old chair
yeah.
in your living room. It's big enough for two, even though God's pretty big.
Mm-hmm.
And you're sitting down there in his lap, and he's holding the book in front, you know, his arms are around you. He's holding the book, and you're reading it together. And then, you know, as you look up out the window, you know, you see it happening. You see the book happening before your very eyes, and God's showing you, yep, this is what I'm talking about. Here's how it really works. Here's the real story. That, to me, is a great, endearing, and enduring picture.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm, absolutely, and it really is. I've learned, I should say, to find comfort in the Word.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not comfort from a sense that, you know, everything's going to be granted, but I've found comfort in knowing that even as the world is, and we know what the world is defined as, but even as the world exists, that there is still truth.
Yeah, the storm doesn't necessarily stop. That rarely happens. But there's comfort in the midst of the storm.
Mm-hmm.
There's peace in the middle of that.
Absolutely.
As you sit in that chair with the Lord.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So that was my big thought, Bob. I wanted to share with you on this podcast is not just Sunday. You know, let's branch it out. And I know the first time you and I ever sat down and really talked about the Bible, that's something that you shared with me. And another challenge that you threw out there was, remember, this isn't just, you know, we'll try this for a little while and see how it works kind of deal. This is 24/7. It's a way of being,
mm-hmm.
and understanding. And through that, you really develop the faith when you learn God and you build the relationship. You understand who He is.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So I do. I'm excited to be here today. I may talk more.
Okay. Good deal. Well, let's. How about if we dive in? Why don't we read? This is Genesis chapter 17. We'll read it straight through, and then we'll go back and see what our thoughts are concerning that. Genesis 17. Now when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. I will establish my covenant between me and you, and I'll multiply you exceedingly. Abram fell on his face. God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with you. You will be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be called Abraham, for I have made you the father of a multitude of nations. And I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you. Kings will come forth from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your descendants after you. And I will give you to your descendants, I will give to you and to your descendants after you the land of your sojournings, all the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. God said further to Abraham, Now as for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you, throughout their generations. This is my covenant which you shall keep, between me and you and your descendants after you. Every male among you shall be circumcised. You shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be the sign of the covenant between me and you. And every male among you who is 8 days old shall be circumcised throughout your generations. A servant who is born in a house or who is bought with money from any foreigner who is not of your descendants. A servant who is born in your house or who is bought with your money shall surely be circumcised. Thus shall my covenant be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. But an uncircumcised male who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, that person shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. Then God said to Abraham, As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her, and indeed I will give you a son by her. Then I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of peoples will come from her. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed, and said in his heart, Will a child be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? And Abraham said to God, Oh, that Ishmael might live before you. But God said, No, but Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son. You shall call his name Isaac, and I'll establish my covenant with him, for an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. As for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I'll bless him, and will make him fruitful, and will multiply him exceedingly. He shall become the father of 12 princes, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah will bear to you at this season next year. When he finished talking with him, God went up from Abraham. Then Abraham took Ishmael his son, all his servants who were born in his house, and all who were bought with his money, every male among the men of Abraham's household, and circumcised the flesh of their foreskin in the very same day, as God had said to him. Now Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. And Ishmael, his son, was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. And the very same day Abraham was circumcised, and Ishmael, his son, all the men of his household who were born in the house or bought with money from a foreigner were circumcised with him. That's chapter 17.
All kinds of questions.
Oh, boy. Okay, what do we got?
All kinds of questions. So, let's go back to the beginning here. Now, again, and I just like to be clear in these, you know, to make sure I'm reading it right. So this is, the Lord appeared to Abram. So this is another situation where they're talking face to face.
No, I wouldn't use the phrase face to face, but they're, remember, it sounds strange, but visions are actually more dialogue than they are vision. The Lord's never described in a vision, you know, oh, he looked like this, and, or so on. It's his words that right. are recorded in a vision. So, appeared to Abram means, you know, God had direct conversation with him.
Gotcha.
But Abraham's not looking at his face, so to speak.
Gotcha. And now, again, what a blessing. We have Abraham, or Abram at this point, going to be Abraham, you know, in this chapter.
A couple verses, yeah.
But Abraham, what faith, because how long had this relationship between God and Abram been going on?
25 years.
25 years.
Yep.
And the same promise.
Yeah.
And
it hasn't happened.
Right.
Yet.
Right.
But God's been saying it all along.
And Abram, faithful, faithful, faithful. And imagine, you know, I had this picture of, you know, or even trying to grasp what it would feel like if God was blessing you, bestowing these blessings, I should say, in this manner. You know, you're talking with him, and he's telling you, I'm going to do this.
Yeah. It's almost like this, you know, Jamie, that makes me think of an illustration. We've said it in another setting before, once or twice, but I always think of it, you know, we have the lottery,
mm-hmm.
right? And sometimes that this Super Ball or whatever, it's, you know, the big one, not the Colorado State, but that... The Powerball one. I've seen that thing get up to like $200 million.
Right.
You know? So, imagine if you won that. But the period I'm interested in is the period between... You're watching TV. They call off those, you know, the little ping pong ball goes through the tube, and you win it. Mm-hmm. And you're sitting there at your TV at home watching that, and you're holding the winning ticket in your hand. And by the way, like on that night, there's only one winning ticket. You know, you don't have to split
right.
it three ways, or it's all yours. Now, you don't, right then and there, they don't wire that into your account. You don't get it the next day. Right, you're going to have to go report that. Then I'm sure, you know, not having been through this, but I'm certain there's meetings, right? And you've got attorneys there. Okay, how are we going to do this? My guess is it would probably take at least a month before you saw that money, actually.
Right.
Before it was in your account.
Right.
And maybe it's even longer than that. But I doubt if it's much quicker than that. However, between the time when you saw it on TV and you're holding that ticket and the money actually got into your account, how would you be living? You know, emotionally,
mm-hmm.
you would be as if you already had it.
Right.
You know, you're driving down the road and your car totally breaks down, right? It's going to cost you $10,000. You know, the chassis falls out.
Right.
You would just laugh, right?
Not a problem, man.
It doesn't matter. It's covered. You know, a month from now, I have a plane, a jet, or whatever.
Right.
I don't really... That's how you would live. Even though
right.
it's not yours yet, you know it's going to be.
Right.
So
the certainty's there.
Yeah. So it is with the Lord when we, not just Abraham, but you and I have a future in heaven forever. Our dad owns the universe. So... You can, in one sense, you know, I'm not saying be naive about life, you know, there are tragedies and so on, but on the other hand, you won. You already won.
Right. You're holding the winning ticket.
It's done. You have that ticket. And so, you know, here's Abraham. We're going to see him struggle. You know, he's going to laugh when God's going to say. But it's done because God said it.
Well, and the other thing that I picked up here, and you know, see if I'm learning what you're teaching me, but the certainty with which God says, reaffirms his covenant with Abraham, I will multiply you exceedingly.
That's right. And remember, a chapter or two ago, he had cut the covenant.
Mm-hmm.
Right, they had formally laid out the animals and so on, and only God had walked through because it's a unilateral covenant. Our listeners will remember that chapter, but this is kind of like the next stage in the unfolding of it. In other words, you know, back to our lottery example. Okay, he's already told Abraham, you got the winning ticket.
Here's
now
the paperwork.
Now it's meet with the attorney time.
Right.
You're signing. So that's kind of what this chapter is. You know, the reaffirmation. No, the deal's on the table. I said it before. Here it is. Let me expand it a little bit. But now we're even closer. Whereas we were, we had some relationship. You know, now that relationship is even, now we're signing papers and so on. They're becoming inseparable.
Well, and imagine hearing, you know, as we were saying, imagine hearing this coming from God. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come forth from you. I mean, the certainty, the sovereignty.
Yeah, it's not just you're going to have some kids. I'm establishing a kingdom through you.
Wow. As you know, reading this part, these verses, those were the three letters that came to mind. Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes the back of, you know, the hair on the back of your neck stand up. Just wow. You know, what a great blessing that is being bestowed.
Yeah. And you know what? Let's not minimize, you know, when we say God has yet to make good on his promise with Abraham. In one sense, yeah, he doesn't have the child yet. But he's phenomenally wealthy.
Right.
Right? We saw that when he alone goes out to battle against five kings and annihilates them. You know, his herds are so big, he has to separate from Lot. You know, they can't even feed him. And so he's very wealthy.
Very blessed.
Yeah.
And faithful. And I keep seeing that in Abraham. And, you know, I'm getting a stronger sense, you know, in what we're talking about and what you're teaching me. Before I understood that Abraham was Father Abraham, but I never really had read into it and really, really understood who Abraham was, you know, the traits and characteristics that he exhibited, you know, who he was and how he established a relationship with God over the years.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, one thing, Jamie, that stands out to me about Abraham is, of course, he's just going to hit it out of the park. We often use it.
Right.
That phrase, with his son Isaac. You know, when God says, hey, I want you to sacrifice your son, you're going to see his true colors there, and they come shining through right away. But also, everybody around him was affected by Abraham's faith. You know, his whole household is part of the faith. You couldn't even imagine him having someone in his household that wasn't part of the faith. You know, like if he purchased a servant or something, I'm sure he would sit that guy down and go, here's the deal. Here's what you're coming into. This is the way we do it. Here's our God. You need to be circumcised. You need to be part of that.
Well, and on that vein right there, so it's obedience.
Oh, yeah.
Faith is not just belief.
Mm-hmm.
There is action involved, is what I'm understanding, you know, through this reading through. Because
I would say it, I don't want to minimize what belief really is. The way I'd rather say it, to quibble about the phrase, is biblical faith is really believing.
Right.
There's no dichotomy between believing something and doing it.
Gotcha.
The biblical picture, that's one thing. If you believed it, you would do X.
Because immediately, I mean, there was no hesitation. It didn't say, and Abraham went and sat down under the tree, the oak tree, and, you know, contemplated what God had just shared with him, and you know, went, and then he went and did it. No, he immediately went and
that's right.
circumcised the whole, his whole household.
Hundreds of people.
And imagine, you know, some of these people must have been saying, well, you know, what?
Yeah, especially something that personal.
Right.
You know, well, Abraham, are you sure he didn't say your skin, not foreskin?
Right.
You know, like, whoa.
Yeah, not to make light of it, but yeah, absolutely. It was all personal, but yet they followed him, which I think, you know, speaks a lot of his household. Am I reading too much into this, or
no? It's not. It's a point for us. It's not the dominant point that Moses
right.
is making writing this, but it is a point for our day and age. It's an application of the text.
And is that it? Is that why circumcision, you know, is just an obedience, you know?
No.
Or is there a reason?
That's part of it. My guess, I was asked this a few weeks ago in a different context. My guess for the rite of circumcision, you know, that God's saying, okay, this is part of the covenant. Here's how you can display that you're part of this deal, is, again, not in any way to make light of this, but you realize what part of your body that is.
Right.
Well, that's where the reproduction comes, which is the seed. And this every broadcast, we've been talking about the
gotcha.
Seed of the woman versus the seed of the serpent, right? So this part is sanctified. This is set apart for me. I'm establishing my kingdom through you. This is the seed of the woman. So guard, you know, you're guarding it. You're setting that aside as holy.
Gotcha.
The seed's a big deal. Really
gotcha.
Big deal.
Gotcha. So
I think that's
so it's not just a show of obedience at all.
It certainly entails that to a large extent, but no, this is part of the battle.
Gotcha. All right, mental note to self on that one. I learned something new every time we get together, my friend.
Same here. So here's another thing. I know you were going to ask me this, so I'll just preempt your question.
Alrighty.
When God says in verse 1, I am God Almighty, he's introduced a new name. He's not saying there, I am God the Lord. When you see the Lord in the text, that's all in capital letters, that's literally the word Yahweh. That's God's personal name. But now, again, back to the idea of he's entering into an even closer relationship with Abraham. So, you know, you need to know me as El Shaddai. My personal name is Yahweh, but El Shaddai is like God most powerful. And you'll see that a number of times in the Old Testament. And it, the basic idea, there's volumes and volumes of material just written on that name. But the basic idea is sovereign king
mm-hmm.
who can bestow blessings and curses, you know, the ultimate sovereign. I'm El Shaddai, the ultimate power. Is what he's saying. So, another reference to the battle. You know, don't forget who I am. In this context of Abraham laughing, you know, man, I'm 100, Sarah's 90. Hey, I'm El Shaddai.
Don't forget.
I can trump any, right? And now, think again, who Moses is originally writing this to, the Israelites, you know, coming out of Egypt, you know, wondering, you know, is Yahweh bigger than Pharaoh? Oh, yeah. Yeah, Yahweh's El Shaddai, okay? Pharaoh's not El Shaddai. Yahweh is. So, yeah, nothing's impossible for God. He could bring you out of Egypt. He could split the sea. He can do whatever he wants to do.
Out of these first, what is it, 9 verses... I really, you know, that really, bringing that up, Bob, and I missed that one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That one was a swing and a miss.
Mm-hmm.
But now that you bring that up, I am God Almighty, now that really makes those 8 verses, you know, because I really did get a sense of sovereignty reading that, that wow,
yeah,
I will.
Yeah, that's
you,
the main thing Moses is saying.
Yeah, this is he.
Yeah.
And then as we...
It'd almost be, you know, a common... I could think of a situation from our lives, you know, say you sat down with somebody and you were getting to know them and looked like a good friend and had made some promises to you and so on. And then, you know, years into the thing, he says, hey, you need to come on over tonight. I want to sign some papers with you about the things I've promised. And so you sit down with them, and he starts, that night, he starts the meeting with, by the way, I'm the President of the United States. And you hadn't known that up to that point, you know? That'd be like, ooh!
Holy cow.
Oh, man, this guy's got some backup, you know? He's got the authority to do this. So here's God introducing this scene with, I'm El Shaddai, by the way.
And I really didn't, I miss that, Bob. I am God Almighty. I mean... Mm-hmm. He doesn't say that.
Not very often.
You know, very often.
Mm-hmm.
Very often at all. And so Abraham is blessed. He has his new name. And Abraham, what, you know, let's just touch on that real quickly. But why the change from Abram to Abraham?
Well, you're a bigger player than you think you are. It's not just me and you. It through you, I'm going to reach the whole world. So you are the father of many nations, you know, many peoples. Abraham, at the end means peoples. So, big name change.
And then we get down and Sarah also gets a name change, right?
Yep.
Not huge, but it more to mark the day or the time or any significance in that?
Yeah. Not the exact equivalent of Abraham, but it's similar to that. You know, you're bigger than you think. You're not just the princess like Abraham's wife. You're princess.
See,
like princess of many things.
Right. Instead of the princess.
Yeah. Right.
Because that's the difference in what the name means, right?
Right.
Sarai means the princess.
Yeah.
And Sarah is just princess.
Or like, in a sense, yeah, it's like, it's expanding the name, you know, not just in this household.
Right.
You're the queen mother, whereas Abraham's the king father. You're the queen mother.
Now, here was kind of, I wouldn't call it a curveball, but Abraham, our faithful, you know, person that we're reading about right here, laughed.
Yes, he does. And it's very interesting to compare this with the next chapter, because Sarah's going to laugh.
Right.
In the next chapter, and she gets upbraided for it.
Yeah,
God doesn't say anything to Abraham. You know, he doesn't upbraid him, like, mm-hmm. you're laughing at me? Whereas he does with Sarah.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of interesting. But which is a good point, Jamie, in that Abraham is, as much as he's the hero, he's like you and me.
Right.
And he, here, it's what he's trying to put together is, you know, hold two hands, and in the one hand, here's God. And he believes God. Even for unbelievable things, you know, that God has promised. On the other hand, he's not seeing it.
And he's 100 years old.
I'm 100. You know, so I hear what you're saying, and I do believe you, but as soon as I look at myself and out at the world, there's no way. And so both of those things are true. He has the full belief,
mm-hmm.
and he has the human struggle. And that collision of things, he just has to laugh to dispel the tension in him between those two things.
Well, and it really also, I think, illustrates God's will. That if it is God's will for that to happen, it's gonna happen.
It's done. Yeah.
It's gonna happen. And I don't know this. You know, I'm still wet behind the ears, as you know. But if it's God's will, it's gonna happen.
That's right.
I've seen it work that way in my own life. You know, things that maybe necessarily I wasn't moving with,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, in hindsight's always 20/20. I look at it and I go, obviously that was God's will at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Because his will be done.
That's right. His ultimate will. He has what I would call a permissive will.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he will let you fall.
Right.
Sometimes. That's not his explicit will. He didn't, when you woke up in the morning, he didn't say, today I'm going to make you fall.
Right.
But he'll let you do that sometimes. But his explicit will always be done.
And I think that's illustrated perfectly here. I mean, as I was reading it, I really saw that you know, and
yeah,
you know,
his sovereign will always be done.
And you know, for our listeners and for myself, I think of this, and it's, we don't know what's happening tomorrow. We don't know what's coming, but he does.
Yeah, sees it all at once.
Right.
He was never. I remember a guy coming in one day to swim practice a long time ago, and some bad things were happening in his life. He was very distraught, and so we talked before he swam. I said, you know, God didn't wake up today. First of all, he doesn't sleep, but if you can even picture that, you know, he didn't wake up today and, whoa, oh man, I can't believe what's going to happen to Joe today. He's not surprised by anything. He's not caught off guard.
It's part of our journey.
He sees the whole thing all at once, so he's got it. But things to us, we can be surprised.
And it almost seems like life becomes about, when do you finally come to that faith?
Yeah.
You know? And
that perfect trust. And
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would just encourage everyone, hasten that process.
Right.
There's no logical reason why it shouldn't be there. God has never dropped the ball.
Well, and is that what Moses is putting down here for us?
Oh, sure.
Because we started out sovereignty, and now we're going through the actions.
Exactly. You're exactly right. Because look at, you know, imagine what he's asking these Hebrew slaves to do. We're going to take out the dominant power on earth.
Tens of
thousands
of
them, right?
We're
a bunch of slaves, and we're going to defeat the most powerful nation on earth through our God. Yeah, right. You know, really, Moses? You go ahead. We'll let you know when we're on board, which is basically what happens, right?
Right.
And they're not with him at the beginning.
Right. Right.
In fact, they're mad at him. Right?
So, I see that, and I see even right here in 18, and Abram was saying, all right, well, let's, you know, in the kind of picture I get is that Abram's going, all right, you know, I understand your promise, but hey, I've already got Ishmael. Can you just
bless
him?
That's exactly what he's doing. Okay, so he laughs because of that tension in him, and then he offers up Ishmael. Okay, let's use Ishmael to do that. And God, you know, has to re-clarify, no, from you and Sarah. And it's not plan B.
Right.
And that's what Abraham's offering, plan B.
There's no substitute.
You know, I'm going to try to get, okay, God, I'm with you. You know, let's do all that. So let's use Ishmael, plan B. No.
Well, it's like one of our previous podcasts, we talked about the patience that we need to exhibit on our behalf.
I know, it looks like patience to us because our lives are so, we view them as so limited. Actually, we have eternal life.
Right.
You and I are going to live forever.
Right.
Okay. So, but since we're under such a perceived time crunch, you know, we're looking at our watch
That's
like
a
it's
great
a stopwatch.
That's
know?
A great point, you know, because a perceived time frame.
Yeah, which, that isn't the timetable. God's got the timetable, not us. He's not going by our wristwatch.
So when he says, oh, that Ishmael might live before you, is that what he's just saying?
Yeah,
that
may he be the guy. Okay, use him as the channel, you know, the line of descent, the seed. And, you know, God's going, no, plan A. You and Sarah are going to have a kid, like I said.
Right. But God said, right? God's like, all right, hey, I really appreciate your work. I like what you put together here.
Yeah.
Give, you know, do a PowerPoint.
Yeah, it's not a proposal. Right. Here's what's going on.
And here's what's actually going to happen. And again, the sovereignty and the faith, and I'm glad you brought that up because I hadn't even thought about that. But we have the same promise.
Oh, yeah, we're grafted into, you know, Abraham is the great father of all those of the household of faith.
Right.
Yeah, what is the promise actually to us? It's a great question. We're not going to talk about the entirety of that right now, but that's a great question because that can be abused. Mm-hmm. People can look at the promises, you know, down through, like, he's promised Abraham a bunch of kids. He didn't promise me a bunch of children. Mm-hmm. So, you know, promises to Abraham are not, don't correspond to ours exactly, but what has he promised?
Through us, right?
You and I. What has he promised us?
Everlasting life.
Everlasting life. And eternal life in two senses, not just time. That's one component, so we will live forever. But quality of life, eternal doesn't just mean time, it means quality. And if your dad created the universe, and you're part of that family, how much do you own? You own the whole thing, right? When I was growing up, you know, my dad had a sailboat, that meant I had the sail. It was mine, right? Because it was my dad's, right? Yeah, it's the whole thing is ours. So that's what he's promised us. And then there's another promise, by the way. In the immediate future, tribulation.
Right.
He has promised. You will be persecuted.
Which we're studying on Sunday.
In this world, for my sake. You know, on account of my name. So there's a promise for you. Persecution. But he's got the whole thing, right? Mm-hmm. We have the eternal life. So don't take the promises to Israel exactly for us.
Well, and I think that's another good point, because those type of promises do exist throughout the whole book.
Yeah, there's lots of them.
But we also have an expectation of us. It's not just, hey, I'm promising
this
to you.
No, and he says to Abraham, he says that explicitly here. Now, as for you, in verse 9, right? Here's my deal. I'm going to do all this stuff for you. Now, for you, you shall keep my covenant.
And Bob, you'll be proud of me. I have that on the notes, and the word keep is in there.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he told Adam and Eve. Keep the garden. Keep the garden.
Yeah, guard it. Guard my covenant.
So it's not those four letters, you know, as Moses is writing it. That's not just keep the covenant. It's keep.
Obedience is a big part of that. But guard it and obey. Mm-hmm. That's right. Spread the news about it, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Keep
all,
it.
All that's, yeah, all
you
that's
know,
wrapped
as you
up
explain,
that
and we've talked about this, I think, through several episodes, but the not the importance, but the understanding and the meaning of the word keep as it's written.
Yeah, if you're going to, you know, the way we could apply that today is if you are going to believe the truth about God, and you haven't lived that way to date, and you're making that transition into belief, your life better change.
Has to.
Or what it means is you really don't believe. Because it has to change. And it's not, I'm not preaching perfection. It's not as if you never sin, but should you clean up the edge? Oh, yeah. You gotta keep the covenant with God. You can't say you believe in God and then go murder and steal. It would put the lie to your words. You know, talk is cheap. You gotta really do it.
Right. Absolutely. It's a two way covenant as I'm reading it. You know, there is.
Well, don't forget. There is a human response to it, but it's not two way. In that, you know, the previous chapters, God himself walked through the sacrifice. Abraham did not. It's unilateral as far as it depends on God.
Right.
But your participation in it, yeah, you're responsible for that.
Yeah, there are responsibilities.
Yeah, and we're not saying here's your list of rules to follow. We're just saying if you really believed it, you would change. You would act like you knew him. You know, someone who knows God loves. They don't lie. They don't steal because they know God. It's not, they don't do those things because they're keeping a list of rules. They don't do those things because it's not part of their nature. You know, God's overcome their nature.
Right. Right. It is. It's a total change.
Yep.
It is an entire change. Now, I found some irony here.
Way to go.
Isaac.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what is the meaning of the
he laughs.
He laughs.
Yeah, here's Abraham laughing. Okay, I'm gonna name your kid after that.
Right.
Just to show you, remind you forever, you laughed when I told you you were gonna have this kid.
And that this kid
yeah.
would be the father of
Yeah. You laughed
of
in disbelief, but you're gonna laugh in rejoicing.
Right, right. It's almost not a double-edged sword, yeah. but a win-win.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I read that and I thought to myself, I've got to bring that up because
good call. You're becoming a reader.
You brought up on Sunday that there's irony.
Bible's full of irony. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And again, the sovereignty. So it starts out with the sovereignty and finishes this chapter with the sovereignty because he tells Abraham now when Sarah will give birth. This is when it's going to happen. He tells him a year from now.
Yeah. Well, in this sovereign, as you keep mentioning sovereignty, you're justified in that, but that's all wrapped up in that term El Shaddai.
El Shaddai.
I am the all sovereign God. So don't laugh when I say this is going to happen. He has all authority, all sovereignty.
And that goes back to verse 1 in this chapter. I am God Almighty.
I am God Almighty. That's how he started out that meeting. I mean, that your eyes would just like pop out of your head.
As I was reading it, even without realizing or reading that,
you had that sense.
It made the hair. Well, I'm bald, so not the hair on the back of my neck, but where the hair on the back of my neck is,
it'd have been standing.
Yeah, it would have been standing up.
You're good looking, bald buddy.
Thank you, Bobo. And so. Now, went up from, in verse 22, when he finished talking with him, God went up from Abraham.
That's a great catch, Jamie. You know how you miss that other slow
right.
pitch down the middle? Well, you hit that one.
So that's one on that one.
Yeah, that makes up for that. So, and apparently it might have been more than just an audio.
Right.
There was a presence. And I don't think it was a visual presence, but Abraham knew God. He was in God's presence.
Because there was an exit.
Yeah, that's right.
Exit stage left, as that, as that cartoon used to say. And he went up from Abraham.
Yeah.
And then the immediate show of obedience.
Yeah.
That's what I got from the end.
Yeah.
No stone was left unturned, so to say.
Yeah.
Everybody, Abraham had a big meeting. He says, okay, here's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And it's going to start with me.
Yeah.
And it makes a point of saying that him and his son were both
Ishmael.
Circumcised
mm-hmm.
on the same day.
Mm-hmm.
Any reason?
Not that I could explicitly detail for you, other than the sense of the text leads you with, there's something there that it was
him, his son,
mm-hmm.
his servants,
mm-hmm.
and all those in between.
And I think your point is the right one. When God talks to him, he does it. Even you see that sort of trumping his laughter, he laughed, but he did exactly what God told him to do.
Right.
So, there's no substitute for obedience, and Abraham does it right away.
And I see, and again, as I learn more, through these talks you and I have, I see that obedience is a very important ingredient in faith.
It's, if it's not the equivalent of faith, it's close to it.
Right. Because you wouldn't do without the belief.
That's right. That's right.
Anything
it doesn't mean you don't have weaknesses and drop a ball,
right.
but basically you could be characterized by obedience. That's right.
And understanding this book, I know we say it over and over, but it really is the foundation. It really is. How are you going to begin your relationship? Or I should put this, this is how I look at it, is how am I going to begin my relationship with God?
Yeah.
If I don't know...
Yeah, that's right. There's no shortcuts. You have to know him the way he's revealed himself to be. You can't wish he would have done it some other way. He has revealed himself to us in this day and age through his word. That's
right.
Recorded for us, 2,000 pages worth. And it's a good tie-in to the discussion on obedience in that I don't know, who's a real believer, who isn't. That's not for us to say. God knows that.
Right.
We don't. But I can say this. I can't imagine a real believer who isn't extremely hungry about the Word of God. That just could not be the case.
It doesn't equate.
Those have to go together. How could you believe God but not want to know what He's saying all the time? You know, that there's no way that could happen.
Well, and more than just, you know, glossing over it, and I know we talk about that a lot, but so many major points are missed. You know,
it's a labor of love.
Absolutely.
That doesn't just happen on a Sunday morning. You listen to a few words about the Bible. That doesn't really grow your faith that much. You got to be in this all the time. It's just got to be a passion burning in you to be hungry for the Word of God. And not as necessarily even as a discipline, just as a life sustenance. You know, think how often we eat during the day. It's a very good analogy.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And it really, you know, as I was reading today and thinking about Abraham and really, you know, in my life, it's become a conscious effort, you know, where can I exhibit, you know, those traits? Where can I exhibit my faith?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's why, you know, things like, you know, this podcast and, you know, our Bible studies are very important, you know, to keep filling you up and mm-hmm. to keep you...
That's right. You got to have your tank
mm-hmm.
filled up.
So that we can go
that's right.
engage
and the
in
more,
the battle.
You know, as we've often said, the more you're in the Word, then the more you see it before your very eyes all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You see what you're called to do all day long. It just... becomes more and more real to you. More and more visible. It's always real.
But more visible.
Mm-hmm.
Great way to put it.
Mm-hmm.
You see it. Yeah. And I'm with you. Anything we missed on this particular chapter, my friend?
Well, yes. A bunch? The Word of God's unfathomable, ultimately. So yeah, we missed a lot. But did we get deeper? Yes.
Anything else that you'd like to cover?
No, that's good.
All right, let's do my favorite part.
Okay, me too. Thank you, Jamie. Lord, so we ask, in accordance with one of our motivating factors for the podcast, send forth these words and let them accomplish what you have set for them to do. Increase our faith. Show yourself powerful as El Shaddai, on behalf of your children who love you and trust you with all their heart. In Jesus' name.